trivia, discussions, opinions, and the chance to have your say. Welcome to the Topical Resort.
As always, as you just mentioned, let's start again. As always, welcome back to the Topical Resort. As just mentioned, this is the Topical Resort, your only way to start off your Radio Sega Fridays, your Radio Sega Live weekends, and apparently this week, your Radio Sega Live week, because once again, I am first show of the week. Oh dear. But anyway, of course, all joking aside, we're today going to be talking about the Game Boy Advance and its lineup of Sega-related games. The not portable SNES. It seems to be a bit of a misfit in terms of Sega games. Even though it does have some original games, it has some great original games. Unlike all the other handhelds we talked about, this one mostly focuses on scaled-down console ports, with great music, mind you. So today on the Topical Resort, we'll be taking a look at Sega games on the Game Boy Advance.
Identify the beat.
It feels nice to hear that music again after, you know, missing it so much. But welcome back to Topical Resort right here on Radio Sega. What you just heard there was from Jet Set Radio, the GBA version. That was Everybody Jump Around. A bit of slight Hideki goodness in that I don't think he was responsible for the GBA tracks, but obviously they're originally his tracks. And before that, from Sonic Battle, that was Emerald Beach, an absolutely, you know, kick-ass track, which unfortunately I think is... It's a lovely track, but I think it's a bit limited by the hardware it's running on. Like, it could have been so much better if it used real instruments or something. I'm trying to catch up on the chat currently, because obviously we are over on Discord, radiosc.gf/discord. And we got a few people with us tonight. We got myself, we got Jamie, we got Electric Boogaloo, and we have Twitty currently. So hello to you all. And Twitty was mentioning earlier about who went online to look up the special codes to obtain bonus cards in Sonic Battle. I'm just completely sort of can't speak tonight, but yeah. But I won't lie to look these up, but admittedly this was in 2012, you know, well after the game came out, because I believe it was originally around 2004 the game came out. But I really enjoyed the game, even though I played it so late, and obviously I played better fighters, because at that time I played Smash series, and I played some, you know, side-scroller type fighters, beat-em-ups, all that sort of stuff. But I really enjoyed Sonic Battle, despite how sort of dated it feels today. But yes, I did go online to look up those bonus cards for Emerald, because, you know, I needed to be top power. Electric Boogaloo says, Shinen Multimedia was responsible for porting the songs to the GBA Jet Set Radio. It was a Sega Retro article, so we can't really go wrong here, necessarily. There's no text on this page, because you didn't copy and paste the link right. Joking, of course. But, no, you didn't. You're supposed to feel bad about that. Anyway, so, see what we got here. Soundtrack, Shinen Multimedia. Ah, okay. I believe you are correct. 20 says, the place where you could obtain the special cards was the lower right building in Central City. Not that Central City that had the Sonic Team words on it. Obviously, Central City was also a level in Sonic Chronicles, and the less said about that game, the better. Electric Boogaloo also rightfully brings up the Vicarious Visions also developed the Crash Nitro Kart and Crash Insane Trilogy. Vicarious Visions also worked on the Bird's Eye View. Is that the right term for it? It feels like Bird's Eye View, but they were responsible for the GBA Tony Hawk games, which were in a very similar style, I believe. Which is why Jet Set Radio is so polished, because those were also very good games. You know, despite how sort of limited they were on hardware, they created something completely new using the limitations. Let's see what else we got. And Jamie has said the exact same thing as me. Keep the times, or more specifically, listen to your radio. Isometric, that's the word I'm thinking for. Thinking of. Thank you, Electric Boogaloo. But anyway, we'll be talking more about the history of the Game Boy Advance after the music break, but for now, I thought I may as well talk about Sega's involvement, since we'll be talking about the console itself after the break. So, technically, the Game Boy Advance was... what was the first Sega Game Boy Advance game, actually? Because I want to get this right, because I don't want... I think I know what it is, but I want to, I don't want to mess this up and, you know, display the wrong facts to you, so let's go to our good old friends over at Sega Retro. Is there a date thing? Because they used to have a date thing, like Game Boy Advance by date. Oh, here we go, 2001 Game Boy Advance games. Let's, out of all these, which one came first? I think I know which one it was. 2001. Or the 18th of October. 21st of March. Okay, so technically the first game, or the first game to be released for the Game Boy Advance by Sega was Choo Choo Rocket, actually, and it's a very good port. I consider it better than the original Dreamcast version, which many people would consider a sin, but that's because it's sort of compact down perfectly because it's such a sort of simplistic game anyway, but it also includes a ton of stuff with it, because it includes something like 700 user-created levels from the Dreamcast version just right on the cartridge without needing to do anything, which I think is incredible, quite frankly. So yeah, it just comes with more content in general than the Dreamcast version, which is why I personally consider it the best version of the game. Aside from that, the first Sonic game to be released on a non-Sega console was Sonic Advance, which was released on the 20th of December 2001 in Japan. And around the rest of the world, Sonic Adventure 2 Battle was released first, and then Sonic Advance came after that in the rest of the world. And we've also got some other bits and pieces, apparently. Also released in 2001 was Puyo Pop, the second Game Boy Advance game, or the second Sega Game Boy Advance game, which was developed by Sonic Team. That was, I also believe that was the first Puyo game to be developed by Sonic Team. Correct me if I'm wrong once again. And last of all, towards the end of, or just before Sonic Advance, on the 13th of December 2001, we had Columns Crown, published and developed by Sega. Jamie says, wasn't it Monkey Ball Jr.? Monkey Ball Jr. wasn't released in 2001, I don't believe, because it's not coming up on my list. Let's look up Monkey Ball Jr. Monkey Ball Jr. was 2002. And 2003 around the rest of the world, so not very close. What else are you people saying? Electric Boogaloo says Choo Choo Rocket was a GBA launch title in Japan. I did not know that, but actually that is, I think that's ideal, because let's look up launch titles as well, actually, just to compare them. GBA launch. In case you can't tell, it's a bit of a rambly episode this time. Out of all the launch titles, there were quite a lot. Honestly, out of all of these, I'd probably say Choo Choo Rocket is the best one. It's also a good port of an already good game that came out, so, you know, it was probably quite cheap as well, I imagine, compared to the other games, like the graphics-intensive games like F-Zero. But, yeah, I honestly think out of all the launch titles, it's the best one, but I never knew that was a launch title, so thank you for pointing that out. But anyway, I think we're going to get into some more music. So, as with last episode with Sega Superstars, I found a lot of stuff while researching this episode that we actually don't have on Radio Sega, and the next one is one of them. So we're going to start you off with a track from a, of all things, Phantasy Star Online minigame, which could be transferred over to the GBA. There was also a Puyo Pop one, but I don't think that had any original music for it. I think it just reused old GBA music. Old Puyo Pop music, but this one actually does have some original music. So, from Nights into Dreams, Score Attack minigame for the GBA. This is the main theme, right here, on the Topical Resort.
Topical Resort, only on Radio Sega. Next, Request Resort. Send your request relating to the topic of the episode in a tweet to @RadioSega or the Green Viper 8, or send it in a Discord DM to Green Viper 8 through our Discord server at radiose.ga/Discord. Hasty History.
And welcome back to the Topical Resort. What you just heard there was from Choo Choo Rocket, the GBA version. That was the title theme. And before that, from Nights into Dreams Score Attack minigame, that was the main theme. Both of which are very awesome tracks, and, you know, even though on paper the GBAs shouldn't sound good, like, the hardware it has inside it for sound capabilities just, you know, should hinder it and shouldn't be allowed to sound good. Same with, like, the Mega Drive and the Genesis, you know, on paper the specs look awful for sound, but actually, both of them just blow out the park in terms of, you know, actual music rather than sound quality. But, let's see what we got. Got quite a few requests there that we could possibly have. Interesting. But, anyway, it is now time for Hasty History. And Hasty History is where we go through the history of something relating to the topic of the episode as quickly as we can. And today, we're going to be going through the history of the Game Boy Advance itself. So the console was first released on March 21st, 2001 in Japan. It was thought to have started off as a console called Project Atlanta in 1997, although there is no way to confirm the connection of the two projects despite how similar they are. The console was different from previous Game Boy designs as it was laid out landscape rather than portrait, as used for the Game Boy and Game Boy Color designs. The console itself was later revised and the GBA and the GBA Micro, or sorry, the GBA SP and the GBA Micro were released. The console was discontinued shortly after the release of the DS, for obvious reasons, because it's been replaced by a new handheld. But overall, the GBA sold 81.51 million units worldwide, making it a financial success for Nintendo. The Nintendo DS launched with backwards compatibility for GBA games, which was removed in the DSi and DSi XL revisions of the DS. Early buyers of the 3DS were offered into the 3DS Ambassador program, where you would be allowed to download up to 10 GBA games. This was the only time GBA games were released on the 3DS, as rumour has it Iwata was unhappy with the emulation. In 2014, the Wii U brought GBA games to its virtual console service, and continued to release games for the service up until 2017, when the console was discontinued. So obviously, if you have any, you know, cool little facts that you want to obviously tell me about the GBA, you know, be sure to shoot them up to me right here, right now, I guess. You know, any facts, anything you've made up, I'll probably still read it out, because it'll be worth it. But we've also, we've got a few things in the chat that we came across earlier. So, Electric Boogaloo said to me, semi-related, Pinobi was a launch title for the GBA in the US and Japan. That game was directed by Naoto Oshima and Yutaka Sugano and developed by R-Toon. And for those of you who don't know, Naoto Oshima is pretty famous in the, obviously, you know, the Sega landscape because he was the character designer of Sonic, but he also directed Nights into Dreams and Burning Rangers. However, he also had his fair share of missteps because he had Pinobi and he had Blinks the Time Sweeper. So I'm going to look up Pinobi because I haven't seen anything in this game. All I've seen is the box art, and the box art screams shovelware to me. And for those of you who don't know what shovelware is for some reason, it's poorly produced game shoved out quickly to earn money. And especially seeing that it's a launch title, that's sort of what it's screaming to me. Apparently, Naoto Oshima also developed a King of Fighters game. Interesting. Jamie says the 3DS had some GBA games for an ambassador program, which is what I just said. It had up to 10 GBA games on the ambassador program, but that was the only time they were ever released because no virtual console ports for the 3DS were ever rolled out. That was the only way you could actually get them. But Pinobi GBA, because that's the PS1 reviews. 61% is what I'm seeing. Let's go on to the actual Wikipedia page, because that normally has some reviews on it. Nope, it has zero reviews on the Wikipedia page. And in fact, this Wikipedia page is completely just barren of any sort of information. I just went completely silent because I just realised there's a sequel to this game. But there's no article on the sequel to this game. Amazing. So we're going to have to look this up manually. It's not on Sega Retro. That's a good sign. It's never particularly helpful or, you know, looks good for a game when it's not even on the website. Aside from that, up next is the request resort, as you heard just a second ago. And the request resort, what that is you can request any music relating to the topic of the episode. And there's a handy checklist on Twitter, on Facebook, and also on the RadioSega.net. And that shows you all the games you can request from. We have quite a lot of games to choose from today. So, you know, I don't want just all Sonic games, but, you know, obviously Sonic games are fine. But, yeah, plenty of stuff to choose from. I will read you out the list of stuff you have to choose from right now, because there is just so much stuff. You've got That's not my show blog. That I clicked on the wrong one. You have Astro Boy, Omega Factor, Choo Choo Rocket, Columns Crown, Comic Zone, Crazy Taxi, Catch a Ride, Gunstar Superheroes, Jet Set Radio, Night Sims Dream Score Attack, Fantasy Star Collection, Pinball of the Dead, Puyo Pop Fever, Sega Arcade Gallery, Sega Rally Championship, Sega Smash Pack, Shining Force of Resurrection of the Dark Dragon, Shining Soul, Shining Soul 2, Sonic Advance 1, 2 and 3, Sonic Battle, Sonic Pinball Party, Sonic the Hedgehog Genesis, don't request that one, Space Channel 5, Ulala's Cosmic Attack, Super Monkey Ball Jr., The Revenge of Shinobi, and Virtua Tennis. You all have to choose from. And Twitty says, you mean this list. Yes, that list that you posted, except that's missing a few games. Because you screenshot that after I updated it, because I updated it yesterday night. I'm going to like attempt to wait for some requests, but... Whoa, okay, I scheduled that way too late. Let's try and... I can't edit this. I'm gonna have to redo this. By the time that tweet will be posted, the request resort block will be over, so there is no point in doing that. There we go. That should do. So you got that list there on Twitter now officially to choose from, and we'll wait for hopefully some DMs, hopefully some messages and all that good stuff from people. But we have got a few requests which I can line up currently. So we'll put this one on. I think I'm gonna I'll remove my own one. Act 3. Okay. And since out of these two, which one do I want? Since it's such a more obscure game, I think I will go for this one. I won't go for that one because it hasn't showed up on my software. Brilliant! I've been having a lot of issues with the software again lately. It doesn't like to import stuff anymore. Pinball of the Dead, there it is. Allow duplicates, because for some reason I have to check this now. Apparently it's just not showing up. That's weird. Boss. Okay, there it is. And aside from that, I will keep checking Twitter. I hope people realise that the Revenge of the Shinobi game is not the same as the Mega Drive version. I listened to the soundtrack, but it didn't really do anything for me. Like, the soundtrack just... The Mega Drive version has an incredible soundtrack, which is why I was just sort of like, eh? Jamie said it wouldn't be Topcore Resort without you forgetting to put some games on your list. Well, it's not that I forgot to put the games on the list, it's either A, the list that I was already using didn't have them, or B, I can't find the soundtrack to them. So there's no point in putting them there if I can't even play them. I'm just trying to find the last... track that I want to use, and I also want to check Twitter to make sure that there's nothing coming through on there. I think I'm going to go for a track from this game since we don't have anything from it. Oh, we got to go with this now that I've seen the top track from this game, definitely. I'll put that in there. So anyway, it is now time for the request resort, and obviously we've put in many games into this block, you know, hopefully they're not. Oh, hopefully we got a bit of variety, and in fact, hopefully we got a bit of variety throughout this show, not just all Sonic music. But we're going to start off with a track from Gunstar Superheroes, as requested by Electric Boogaloo. So, from that game, this is Burning Point, a remix from Thunderblade, right here on Radio Sega.
Request Resorts. We'll be right back.
Oh, why couldn't that have lasted for longer? Welcome back to the Top Crew Resort right here on Radio Sega. We just heard that was the request resort block, which is all the requests that were sent in relating to the topic of the episode, which obviously this week is GBA Sega games. So that, from Sonic Pinball Party, that was Burning Hearts, and there was a bit of a confusion in the chat, because I thought there was a Burning Rangers game for the Game Boy Advance. But no, sadly, as Scary Red pointed out, it's just a pinball table within Sonic Pinball Party. The highlight is obviously the music to this entire game, because it is a pretty decent pinball game, but it has an incredible soundtrack, all of which is all remixes of Sonic Team music. You know, you've got plenty of Knights remixes, plenty of Sonic remixes, all for the GBA sound chip. It is, mwah, excellent. But aside from that, obviously, before that, from the Pinball of the Dead. Oh, sorry, Burning Hearts was requested by me. But before that, from the Pinball of the Dead, that was Boss Mode Magician, as requested by 20, aka Mr. Social. Before that, from DJ Pretzel, that was a remix of Phantasy Star 3's Legacy, aka the title theme, as done by DJ Pretzel, and as requested by Jamie64326, aka Mr. Wonderman, aka Mr. Rexy Wonderfan, aka Green Viper, aka BT Kickass. He has a lot of names. But before that, from Sonic Advance 3, that was Cybertrack Act 3, also requested by 20. And first of the block, from Gunstar Superheroes, Burning Point, Thunderblade, as requested by Electric Boogaloo. And now, we have come to a block in the road, because this is the part where we just talk about the games on our Request Resort list, and give a quick overview on them, whether I think they're good, whether I think they're bad, whether I think you should play them, whether I think you should listen to the soundtrack, and all that sort of stuff. Okay, there we go. So, first up is Astro Boy Omega Factor. I hear great things about this game. I hear it's a great Game Boy Advance game that's also very cheap. I don't know about the soundtrack. I haven't heard the soundtrack. But I haven't played it myself. I was going to play a lot of the games myself here, but I just didn't have time, sadly. But I might play them after. That would be quite fun, actually. Just like a big block of them after the show. While obviously listening to Sega Mix Drive at 9 p.m. British Standard Time, playing the best Sega remixes 2 hours straight, you know, cruel plug. After that is Choo Choo Rocket. I've already given my opinions on this. It's better than the Dreamcast version because it adds tons of new content, and it's also a pretty good port all in all. Columns Crown, haven't really played this, or haven't played any of the Columns series, because truth be told, I don't think they look very good. There are some people on my Twitter feed who would shoot me for saying that, because I know some people on my feed who absolutely love love the Columns series, but I just can't get into it. It's a puzzle game, you know, that makes me sacrilegious, whatever, but yeah, it's just me. Comic Zone, a good game on the Mega Drive, an awful game on the GBA. I believe this was obviously, you know, a port. They wouldn't have remade it. This was obviously a port, and it was poorly done. So play the Mega Drive version, don't play this version, simple as. Crazy Taxi Catch a Ride. It had so much potential, and yet it used none of it. It could have been a good game, but in a fate of irony, the game which copied it, Simpsons Road Rage on the GBA, actually did a better job. So a good job, Sega, but the music was okay, at least. Gunstar Superheroes. I hear great things about this game, because obviously this is another treasure game, as was Astro Boy Omega Factor. Thanks, Electric Boogaloo, for pointing that one out. But Gunstar Superheroes is a sequel to the much-beloved Mega Drive game Gunstar Heroes, and obviously it takes place, you know, in the future, or at least I believe it takes place in the future, judging by all the stuff I've seen. Also has a ton of, you know, Sega remixes like Wilderness, I'm surprised Jamie didn't request that, Thunderblade, Afterburner, all of which are unused, and all of which we don't have on the 24/7 for some reason. Why? But we've also got Jet Set Radio, it's a pretty good reimagining of the Jet Set Radio series in a isometric view, as done by Vicarious Visions, the developers of Tony Hawk GBA games. After that, we got Nights into Dreams Score Attack. I briefly mentioned this game. It's a mini game for Phantasy Star Online, which you could transfer over to the GBA. Same with a Puyo Pop game, although I didn't include that on the list. It's a quite a fun game. It basically goes on for as long as you allow it to, in that the better you perform and the more time you get, blah, 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 blah. So you can get it to go on for ages, or you can, you know, only play it for like 2 minutes, depending on how well you play. Both Electric Boogaloo and Mr. Wonderman are saying, I'm going to shoot you, because Columns is brilliant. I just couldn't get into Columns. It just I didn't like the puzzle system of it. I didn't like the the music's good, but I don't like the actual gameplay of it, and that's an issue, but obviously people are going to complain, so let's just move on. Phantasy Star Collection, a pretty dire port from what I hear of the three Phantasy Star games. However, like, the one original track it has is quite nice. Pinball of the Dead, I hear quite good things about this one as well, and obviously, you know, has a nice soundtrack. I'm going to be saying that about a lot of these because I really like the GBA sound chip. But I haven't really played it myself. Puyo Pop, a reimagining of the first Puyo Puyo game. And it was also the first one done by Sonic Team. And obviously the first Puyo game for the GBA. It's a pretty good game from what I hear, although the title puts me off because I hate the name Puyo Pop. But I much prefer the name Puyo Puyo, the Japanese name of the series. And after that comes Puyo Pop Fever. This game comes up on these lists all the damn time. It's probably the game that's shown up the most out of all the games. It's probably shown up the most out of any game in any episode. It's probably showed up the most of any game throughout the whole of Topical Resort. And we're only 25 episodes in. Also 25 episodes, well hey! But, yeah, Puyo Pop Fever, I've given my opinion on it quite a few times before. Okay game, not the best Puyo game, not the worst Puyo game, fairly average. Pick it up if you can find it cheap. The soundtrack's pretty good. The GBA version of the soundtrack's pretty good, the console version's pretty bland and generic, I think. Sega Arcade Gallery, it's not Sega Smash Pack, but it's Sega Smash Pack. It adds some good original music, it has some good port music. The gameplay is pretty good, it's not as badly emulated as Sega Smash Pack. Overall, it's pretty good. If you can somehow find it, pick it up. Sega Rally Championship, absolutely no clue. I haven't heard the soundtrack, I haven't played the game. Sega Smash Pack, I hear pretty dire things about this one as well. No original music, so you know, already off to a good start. The emulation is poor, as is a staple in the Sega Smash Pack games. The music is also poor because it's badly emulated and just generally not a very good game. Unlike the Dreamcast version, this one can't piggyback off the good title theme music, because the Dreamcast version had some incredible title theme music, obviously, which most of you know as the theme of Sega Ages, our show, rest in peace Sega Ages, our very first live show in fact. But yeah, that's mainly what it's known for, but it's a great track. But the Sega Smash Pack on GBA supposedly only reuses Sonic Spinball's title theme as the title theme for the game. Yeah, can't say I'm a big fan of that decision, personally. I can't speak about any of these Shining games, because I just haven't played them, I just don't really know anything about them. Sonic Advance 1, 2, and 3, I'll get my opinions out of the way on these ones quick. Sonic Advance 1, I believe, is the best for gameplay. Overall, I also believe it's the best for music, although Advance 2 and 3 have great music. Advance 2 was okay, a bit of a downgrade in that the level design was a bit poor, and Advance 3 took the level design and made it even worse. Advance 2 and 3 just suffer from a lot of bottomless pits and unseen sort of objects, like, you know, you'll be running and the next second an enemy will be right in front of you. You know, just like poor sort of resolution, poor level design in general, really. But Advance 1, I think, is the best because it doesn't really have any bottomless pits, it doesn't really have any death traps, any of that sort of stuff, and it has some great music. It reminds me, honestly, I think before Sonic Mania, I would have considered this the true Sonic 4. It just feels like a continuation of the classic games while doing its own sort of thing, I would say. But anyway, we got a few bits and pieces in Discord that I'll be reading out in a second. Sonic Battle, a pretty fun game, pretty dated, but I still think there's a lot of fun to have with it. Just because it's dated doesn't mean it's bad. Sonic Pinball Party, talked about this just a second ago. The pinball was pretty okay, but the standout part was the music. Sonic the Hedgehog Genesis, absolutely dreadful port. Originally, they were porting Sonic the Hedgehog to the GBA. They ran out of time and had to scrap everything, so they redid it from scratch and in a very short period of time, and that is the final product. Horrible redesign because it runs on the Advance engine. Horrible music, horrible gameplay, just horrible everything. Do not play it. Space Channel 5, Ulala's Cosmic Attack. Apparently, this is just the console version, just scaled down. The music's pretty good, but the gameplay I haven't really seen much of. Super Monkey Ball Jr., I hear pretty good things about this one. This is one of the post Super Monkey Ball 2 games that people seem to compliment a lot. It's basically a GBA port of Super Monkey Ball 1, which, you know, can't be really that bad. Revenge of Shinobi, not as good as the Mega Drive version. Soundtrack isn't as good as the Mega Drive version. And Virtua Tennis, not as good as the other versions of the game. Apologies, I'm out of breath. But anyway, that was all my opinions. I actually need a second to breathe here. Or in this case, take a drink. Electric Boogaloo didn't say he was going to shoot me, that's true. Doan says, collection is acceptable. It is recognisably Fancy Star and portable. Very true. And has Fancy Star 1. Electric Boogaloo says that there were a few Sega-related original Game Boy releases. Columns Game Boy and Penguin Land. There were also, I don't believe they were published by Sega, but obviously they would later come on to be owned by Sega, but they were... The original Puyo series was on a Game Boy, the original RPGs before it became the Puyo Puyo series. I can't remember what they're called, someone will correct me on it, probably. Electric Boogaloo says, Sega Smash Bros. Dreamcast also had Virtual Cop 2, which was obviously a Saturn exclusive. What else we got? Electric Boogaloo says, I should definitely check out Shining Force Resurrection of Dark Dragon, an Amusement Vision developed remake of the original Shining Force and Genesis. Interesting. I will talk about this a bit more after the break, but I'm incredibly out of breath at the moment, so I need to take a breather. But we're going to start off the next block with a track from Sonic Advance. It's an absolutely fantastic track. I love it. It's so calm and so relaxed. So from Sonic Advance, this is Angel Island Zone Act 2. Enjoy.
Only on Radio Sega. We'll be right back. Topical Thesis.
And welcome back to Topical Resort, right here on Radio Sega. What you just heard there was from Space Channel 5, Ulala's, I can't remember the name of it, Ulala's Cosmic Attack. That was BGM 01. It sounds like Mexican Flyer, but it's different enough to where I thought it wasn't Mexican Flyer, so I didn't call it that, I just called it BGM 01. But before that, from Sonic Advance, that was Angel Island Zone Act 2, as Jamie pointed out, the fake Angel Island, but it's the real one in my heart. Obviously, we're going over Sega GBA games that I didn't put on my list in the Discord, radiosc.ga/discord, and let's briefly report up that Sega published a Charlotte's Web game for GBA. Why? It baffles me. Like, they've published some odd games, but Charlotte's Web for the GBA? Shovelware? Oh boy, here we come. But anyway, as you heard, it is obviously time for our topical thesis. Our topical thesis is just a... It's an opinion that I've heard from the Sega community, or I've come up with myself. And then I give my spin on it, I give 3 points for, 3 points why I agree, 3 points why I disagree. And then I come to a justified conclusion based on my 3 points, or my 6 points. And I'll be giving you my opinion in just a second, when I actually line up the tweet. I just need to change the time on it, there we go. Today's topical thesis. A new Sega handheld. Should it happen? So, my 3 points for. Handhelds tend to focus on two audiences, children and people who like Japanese games, so Sega could fill a potential gap in the market. When I mean Japanese games, I was trying to put it politely, but I mean weeb games, you know, like JRPGs, you know, waifu games, all that sort of stuff, anime games. But it, you know, they're the two sort of focuses for handhelds. And Sega obviously makes Japanese-style games, but not in the same market as those ones. And they obviously make games made for children, but in a different sort of market. There's a gap between the two that they could fill perfectly, so why not go for it? Sega haven't made a full, keyword being full, handheld since the Game Gear, so they've had enough time and experience to make another great handheld. You know, Game Gear taught them a lot, and obviously the time between the end of the Game Gear and now has also taught them a lot. So, perfect opportunity to sort of, you know, fix your mistakes from the past and eventually, you know, come on to do something great in the future. And finally, Sega would be able to get some good third-party support, meaning they wouldn't have to rely much on making their own games like Sony did. You know, with the Vita, Sony didn't really have much third-party support, and that's sort of why it tanked, because Sony had to rely on themselves to make the games rather than other people, so that meant there wasn't a constant stream of games coming out. But Sega sort of has contacts, and they have people who are friendly with them after the end of the Dreamcast, so just contact them, and obviously, you know, you could get some third-party support going for the console, and, you know, you wouldn't have to rely on making all your own games. However, there are obviously points against my opinion. So, 3 points against. Nintendo have completely dominated the handheld market, and to chip away at their dominance would be nearly impossible. You know, Sony had tried it 2 times and have never come anywhere near close. And obviously Sega tried it and came slightly closer than Sony did, but, you know, nowhere near. So to try it again and defy all odds would be impossible. It just wouldn't work. And you've also got another point of, Sega are always dipping in and out of financial trouble. Is that the right one? Yeah, Sega always dipping in and out of financial trouble. And even though handhelds are less expensive to make and manufacture, it put financial strain on the company. You know, after the Dreamcast, Sega's been in a bit of a rocky road in terms of money. And making and mass producing a new handheld, even if it's less expensive, would still be a lot of money, which would put the company under strain, obviously, because they have a lot of money to put into a console, but because they need to put a lot of money into a console, some of which might completely bankrupt them. And our final point is, Sega would need strong second and third party support to make the games, which can be flaky, as you can never rely on other companies to produce all of your games. Even though I said this was a point four in the the points four part, this is also a point against, because Sega, obviously they have a lot of development studios, but they would need to rely quite heavily on third-party support. You know, like two-thirds of the library would need to be third-party in order to actually make a sort of impact on Nintendo's dominance, and this creates an issue in that, you know, third-party and second-party developers actually have to like Sega and like the console in order to want to develop for it, which is a bit of an issue when you want quite a majority of your library to be third-party in order to actually entice new people to the console. So, in conclusion, I think many of us can come to the same conclusion here. After the Dreamcast, many of us are still dreaming and thinking, never letting go of the thought that Sega returning to its former glory. And as much as I want to believe a handheld would be a step in the right direction, or would return them to their past state, if I think about it logically, all I can see is the company getting into more financial trouble than they've already been in. And that would truly be it from Sega. So although I would love to see a new Sega handheld, and all the potential for the company that will come with it, if I can come back down to planet Earth for a second, all I can see is the issues it would cause for the company. What's your opinion on this opinion? You have many different places you can get in this opinion on this opinion. You can get it in through Twitter, at Radio Sega, at Topical Resort, at The Green Vaporate. Get it in through Facebook, at Radio Sega. You can get it in through Discord, radiosc.ga/Discord. You can get it in through a Radio Sega private message, I'm Green Vaporate. Or you can get it in through email, topicalresort@gmail.com. You have plenty of places to get in your opinion, and I'm going to read out some now. So, nothing on Twitter so far. We've also got Discord. Discord. Jamie says, with the Game Gear exactly great. Well, yes, sort of, but you know, not an amazing console, but it was great for Sega. Electric Boogaloo says, and even then, Sony stopped making games on the Vita themselves, so no first party games right now at all. Whoops. Doan says, I must admit I did not use the Game Gear much, I couldn't afford the batteries. Six AA batteries, what were they thinking? Who had the... No one has the money for that in 2017, let alone in the 1990s. Electric Boogaloo says, there was a cartridge for developers and the press that allowed GBA and Game Boy Color games to be played on the N64, the Wired Boy 64 AGB. I've seen these and they look interesting, but the thing that always makes me laugh is the fact that the sticker on the front of the Wired Boy is literally word art from Microsoft Word, from the really old versions, because that word art's no longer in Word. Aside from that, I'm going to check a few other places for opinions first, because quite a few people are typing here. Let's check here. I may as well also check Facebook for the first time in years, see whether we've had anything on there. We got a ping on Discord. Facebook, please. Mr. Wonderman says, portable-wise, do you know about the Sega Nomad? Yes, Sega Nomad was a portable Genesis / Mega Drive, but mainly Genesis because it only came out in US. Or it might come out in Japan, but I know it definitely didn't come out here in Europe. But, yeah, I do know about it, but it wasn't a true handheld in that it was just a handheld version of a console. Electric Boogaloo says, I don't think Sega should even bother going back to making consumer hardware, let alone a new portable system, as they are not in a financial or infrastructural situation where they can do that. That is very true. As I said, it puts strain on the company. But, I'm currently just waiting for Maxi to, you know, finish what he's typing before I read the full thing out. And as I thought, Electric Boogaloo has in fact confirmed that the Nomad only came out in the US, as I thought. So I'm going to check here quickly. I should probably move on to the next talk bed. That'd be a smart idea, so I actually have time for a call. So Maxi says, it'd be nice to see a handheld, but Sega doesn't really have a hardware department these days, so the R&D would be real expensive. Whereas Sony, etc. can pull from their display division, etc. Also, the competition is killer out there at the moment. Not so much in the hardware, but the game prices. charging £30 or £40 for a handheld game is tough to swallow for a lot of people these days. I agree, you know, like, I was looking at Switch game prices, had a nosebleed, and then thought, yes, these are quite expensive. But I can't imagine, I wouldn't want to buy every game for that console, and same with a Sega console, you know, if the games cost that much money, I wouldn't be able to buy every game, but I'd just be able to buy the games that I sort of wanted. That's not necessarily a good thing, because I can't support Sega as much as I'd love to support Sega. But anyway, I'm going to get on some more music, and after that we've got the Discord called in. I'll also be reading out some more of your opinions if you have any. So we're going to play another Gunstar Superheroes track now. So, another remix of a previous Sega game, a remix of Galaxy Force 2. This is Beyond the Galaxy from Gunstar Superheroes, right here on the Topical Resort. We'll be right back.
missed an episode and want to catch up? Want to re-educate yourself on the topic of a previous show? Download our podcast from the Radio Sega Media section, subscribe to us on iTunes, or stream the show through Stitcher. Discord Cooling.
And welcome back to Topical Resort right here on Radio Sega. What you just heard there was from Puyo Pop. That was the final battle theme. And before that, from Gunstar Superheroes. That was Beyond the Galaxy, a remix of the, obviously, Beyond the Galaxy from Galaxy Force 2. And now it's time for the Discord call-in. And all you need to do is join radiose.ga/Discord, grab a microphone, and then join the Chill Out voice room. And hopefully we have time for more than one call today. And hopefully it won't be the same person calling in. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yes, indeed. But I think I have an idea of who I want to put on already. So, because they haven't been on in a very long time, in fact. So I'm going to ping them right now. Because I like giving people actual warning. Minus Jamie, I don't like giving Jamie warning. He gets dragged on whenever. Because that's the way we abuse Jamie. Okay, a bit of holding. Awesome. Please wait. Your call is important to us. Or in this case, your Discord call is important to us. At least you get to enjoy the awesome background music. Okay, there we go. I might need to turn this down a bit. And welcome to the show, Twinny.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, just going to mess with your volume levels. So, what would you like to talk about today?
Yeah, you saw earlier on the show, I mentioned Advance 3, give it a little heart when you play soundtrack. As much as Jamie despises it, yeah, Advance 3 is, in fact, my favorite title from the Advance series. Because of what was said in the chat earlier, the tag team system, I kind of enjoyed the gameplay through that. It is reminiscent of Knuckles Chaotix, right?
Yeah, I think it was after Heroes as well, but it's more reminiscent of the tag team mechanic in Chaotix than the team mechanic. But I think it's a good mechanic.
Yeah, except for the whole, like, the ring system that was in Chaotix. All you have to do is press a button prompt and your teammate automatically responds next to you. So that's good. Yeah, and as much as Jamie also despises the entry into special stages, I do like how you make your way into them in Advance 3 rather than the previous editions. All you have to do is find that special spring located within level. It wasn't that difficult to find it either. I mean, sure, you have to change up your teammate in order to reach some of those springs, but for the most part, I find them it's so much better than how you have to get in Advance 2.
Advance 2 in particular.
Yeah. Yes, collecting 7 of those rings, and the difficult part was Advance 2 was all about the speed, so if you were like just too fast in some of the levels, you immediately breezed by like a couple of the rings. I remember one of them being located in the snow ice level. It was right there in sight, but you just way too fast and you just go right past it, and I just hated the way they were placed throughout the levels. It's one of the most atrocious ways of getting entry in a special stage, if not the most atrocious way of getting into a special stage in Sonic history.
I definitely agree. I don't think Advance 3s are amazing. I think out of the ways to get into the special stage, Advance 1 is the best, but Advance 3 has the best special stages as well. So it's just sort of, you know, pick your poison, I guess. You can choose the better special stages, or you can choose the better way to get into the special stages.
Yeah. Also, Jet Set Radio GBA. Of course, I am like a huge fan of the series. I honestly never played the GBA version because I never heard of it being ported to the system like well after it was originally released. But from what I'm looking at it, it's pretty alright. I mean, of course, the music isn't gonna be as great as the console port, the console version of it, but it still holds up. I mean, it's still catchy at times, but for the most part, it's alright. The music is alright. The gameplay looks simple enough. I'm not sure if the controls on how to spray paint is as difficult as it was back on the original Dreamcast release, because you know, Dreamcast, you have to like throw the thumbsticks around in certain directions. I'm not sure how that translates to the control pad on the GBA, but what I saw of it, it's tolerable. I mean, I'll give it as a pretty reasonable port.
I think that's it. It's a pretty decent sort of original game, but I wouldn't consider it, you know, like an amazing sort of. I wouldn't consider it amazing, and I wouldn't consider it as good as the console version. But for what it is, it's a pretty decent game. But you know, nothing to sort of waste hours and hours over.
Yeah, exactly. Same for Crazy Taxi, Catcherite. I just seen a video on gameplay of it before. I gave you the music request, and it's not a game to play for the long run. It's only good in short bursts. I mean, the layout of the graphics, it's gonna get irritating after a very quick while.
Yeah, I think I found that as well. Like, I was just looking at footage and I'm like, this doesn't seem like very sort of playable just in the way it's
not at all.
But like, the original music I heard for it was nice, at least. That's like the saving grace of most of these sort of downscaled ports for older handhelds. They have nice music, really about it.
I was only able to find the main menu theme while I was on YouTube. I couldn't find any other track from the game, so I'm not sure if that main menu theme is the only music that plays when you drop the game or something, but I would not consider that a very good Crazy Taxi port. I would just stick with the PSP compilation.
Yeah, that's where I'd recommend as well. Let's I'm gonna look on this server where I've been getting most of my GBA music, see whether it has Crazy Taxi. No, okay, it does not. So apparently the menu theme is the only one that has a clean version of it. So that, yeah, because that was the only track I could find as well after a few hours of searching for tracks for this show.
Well, that tells you how forgettable that game is.
Exactly. But anyway, have you got any other games you'd like to talk about?
Let me look at the list real quick. I'm sure there was something else in that list. Hold on. Let's see. Not exactly, no. I mean, oh, Sonic Battle, yeah. We also had that game, me and my brother. Sadly, we don't have the cartridge of it anymore, but some piece cartridge. But, yeah, that was like pretty much Smash Brothers Sonic style before, you know, Sega Superstars fighting game. Please hope that's a thing in the future.
Pray,
yes. But yeah, Sonic Battle was pretty much our first taste at a Super Smash Brothers style game from Sega, and I gotta say, if I still own a copy of the game, it would still hold up to this day. I mean, the way to customize Emerald with all those battle cards were pretty good. The music is also pretty good, and the story too. I like how it goes through the character Emerald with all the characters you meet, also Professor Joe Robotnik's journals, which kind of had some plot issues because we didn't know any of the sort of the character around the time Sonic Adventure 2 came out. But the story was still fine. I did like the ending battles of the game. It was like one of the most serious takes on this on a Sonic story. So I'll give them that. And yeah, I'll definitely would play that in Sonic Adventure 3 and Jet Set Radio GBA if I still own them or, you know, bought them again.
I think also, the only thing really I have an issue with in Sonic Battle is the camera system. But aside from that, I think a lot of it still holds up, but it hasn't aged like amazingly, but that doesn't mean it's like doesn't hold up, but it's showing signs.
Yeah, but don't even bother playing Sonic Battle on multiplayer because, you know, connectivity is dead.
Rest in peace, Game Boy Advance Link cable.
Oh, those were the days.
I had the game on the 2-pack, the Sonic Advance and Sonic Battle 2-pack, because they put Advance in many 2-packs.
Yeah, I remember one such pack had a signed GBA game and a Garfield game. I'm probably not sure if that's true or not. Hold on, let me check.
Off the top of my head, I know there was Sonic Advance, Sonic Battle, Sonic Advance, Sonic Pinball Party, and Sonic Advance, and Choo Choo Rocket. They're the ones I can remember.
Oh dear lord, there was.
Let's look this up.
Actually, it was for... It was a PC, not GBA. Oh, okay. Alright. But still, that's just weird. I'm looking at box art of it right now, and Garfield looks so out of place next to American design Sonic. Yeah, it didn't have the Japanese design Sonic.
It was just a very odd choice for a PC game pack in general, though, to be honest.
Yeah. But yeah, other than all that, I'm pretty much set my piece on my history with Sega GBA games.
Awesome. So, anyway, 20, thank you so much for having you. Thank you so much for coming on. Is there any last things you'd like to say before I drag you back to the chill out?
Not exactly. It's been good talking to you, man.
Thank you very much, and I hope to see you again, hopefully, sometime soon on the Topical Resort. See you later.
Alright, if I have something to say.
Bye. And that is the end of the Discord call-in for now. I apologize. I promise, I swear, I would take more of your calls next time. Because if we have an off-topic episode, perhaps we could talk about the Game Boy Advance if you want to talk about it a bit more, or some other stuff, or anything else, because obviously off-topic is the chance to talk about any of that. But I promise I'll take your calls then, but we have to move on with the show. I apologize. Thanks so much to 20 for participating, everyone in the chill out. We currently have II. I'm going to butcher this, apologies. Alethea? Yeah, I'm going to guess Alethea Games, Ancient Light, and Mr. Wonder Man. Yeah. I apologize and thank you so much for all stopping by. And Electric Boogaloo has now posted the image of the Garfield and Sonic crossover 2-pack. That's perfect time to move on to the next block, which is the Toppy Mix. And the Toppy Mix is one Sega track not relating to the topic of the episode, one remix relating to the topic of the episode, and one non-Sega track not relating to the topic of the episode. You thought you'd escaped it, because it stopped for a few weeks, but nope, it's back. The Sonic Mania soundtrack is back on Topical Resort, yep. Because this track is just so good, and I've been listening to it so much, just had to play it again. So, kicking off the top mix block from Sonic Mania, this is Press Garden Zone, Act 2.
Let's get scratching.
And for one last time, and we actually have some time this time. There's more time. Welcome back to the Topical Resort for the final time, right here on Radio Sega. We just had that was from Super Mario Advance 2, the GBA port of Super Mario World. That wasn't planned. It was just that I found out that I didn't have the original version of Super Mario World soundtrack and only had that version. So that was the athletic theme. And before that, from Yuzo Boy, that was Casino Paradise Act 1, a Sega Genesis remix. And the very first track of the Toppy Mix block was from Sonic Mania, and that was Pressed Garden Zone Act 2. There was some confusion in the chat because I played Mario music, except people don't seem to listen to the fact that there is a non-Sega block for the Toppy Mix. But it's just such a shock to some people that, you know, sacrilegious Mario music is getting played on Radio Sega, so I deeply apologise for those of you who are affected. But it is now time for the end of the show, and, apologies if I've been stumbling over my words or I've been taking long pauses today. That's because I've had a cold for the past few days. And I knew I was going to be alright to host the show, but I didn't know like how alright I was going to be during the show. And incredibly sore throat now. That's bad, but at the same time, you know, I got through it and I had some fun. But that's all that really matters at the end of the day. You know, we had some fun, we had some laughs. We had some parts where people told me I was wrong, as usual, all that sort of stuff. And then we also had the fact that this week I finally came into acquisition of a Nintendo Switch. So a cold combined with a Nintendo Switch, you know what that means? That means zero free time to work on the show. But no, I did actually spend a lot of time working on this episode. So, but that's just a perfect combination for procrastination. But I overcame it in the end, and I wrote this episode and had a lot of fun doing so. And it's been one of my favourite episodes so far, actually. I've been really enjoying this one, so thanks so much to everyone who made it possible. And obviously, you know, I hope to see you next week on the Topical Resort, because next week we will be going off topic once again. And we'll be taking a look at the Sega news for the month of September. And obviously we've had 5 shows this month. So we've had a lot of, you know, we're going to have a lot of news to cover next week. And after that, you might want to know what's coming up the week after. The current plan for the first week in October, because we're in October already. Wow. The current plan for the first episode of October is Sega CD. As requested by Electric Boogaloo, and I think it'll be quite a fun episode to do, because there's a lot of good Sega CD music. Off-topic again, off-topic is at the end of every month, and we do a news roundup on the off-topic episode. That's how it works. There was only one month with an exception, which was June, because I didn't feel there was enough news during June. There's been plenty of news this month, so we're going to be having another off-topic episode. And after the Sega CD episode, who knows what will be next, but we have a ton of stuff lined up for the rest of this year on the Topical Resort, so stay tuned, and obviously, you know, stay locked to Radio Sega, because we're bringing you the best Sega music, and also the best live shows. Coming up next is Sega Mixer Drive with Rexy, playing for 2 hours the best Sega remixes, the absolute finest. And you got that to look forward to. And then after that, the next live show will be the chart-topping show with Rav Sieg at 8 p.m. on Saturday. So you got that to look forward to. That's a lie. At 2 a.m. BST this morning. At 2 p.m. BST... At 2 a.m. BST, you have RSN Live with, obviously, Voice, if you want to tune into that. Although that is very early for some of us. If you want to tune into that. And then after that is the chart-topping show with Rav Sieg at 8 p.m. British Standard Time on Saturday. So you got all that Radio Sega Live goodness to look forward to right there. And as for now, we've also got some stuff to announce. Or have we? I'm not thinking. We haven't got anything to announce. I'm just trying to think of what I was going to say. Because we've got some time to fill here. I had something I was going to say, but it's just completely gone from my head, and I just cannot remember what it is that I was going to say. So, I don't know. I guess, why not? Why don't we go on to the final track of the show, and I'm going to leave you as it is. So, I've been Green Viper 8. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you guys next week for a news roundup for the month of September. For now, I'm going to leave you with another track from Twinny's favourite, Sonic Advance 3. So from that game, this is Route 99 Act 2. I've been your host, Green Viper 8, and as always, stay topical.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.